You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. The freestyle era continues, and it's going to continue for the foreseeable future. And that's just how it's going to be. And more, what's happening?
Hey, yeah, lots of stuff in the pipeline, for sure. First interview of many. First interview of 2024, actually, that I have done is up on the site, and it's with Evie Echoes of Evie Echoes in the Locations, and it rocks. She is a really interesting person. We had a pretty wide-ranging conversation. We talked about lots of stuff, and yeah, so go read that and check out The Cons of Being a Wallflower, which is their debut, the band's debut, full-length album, which is exciting. And one of the things in the interview we talk about is like kind of aliens and alien people and Doctor Who. And I've never really watched Doctor Who, but I've seen like the stuff online, and I'm kind of wondering, should I watch it? Because it
yes,
seems like something I would like.
Doctor Who's awesome. Doctor Who either sucks or is awesome, or it's good in concept but terrible in actual application. Doctor Who's really cool. My favorite Doctor Who is definitely the Tom Baker Doctor Who, which is the best by far. But I mean, they all kind of have their merits. There's definitely a distinction between like old school Doctor Who and new school Doctor Who, and everyone loves new school Doctor Who, which I like. I think it's a little too cutesy wootsy. Like, I think the old Doctor Who, even though. Well, with the old Doctor, even though they're like fighting or whatever, like guys in like rubber masks and paper mache, it felt more dangerous and daring, especially with Tom Baker, who often was kind of like a bad guy. Well, not a bad guy, but he was unpredictable and not always a good guy, if you will. Whereas now it's kind of cutesy wootsy. I mean, to a degree, it's kind of cutesy wootsy, and Doctor Who is not going to do anything to scare you, if you will, you know, or be odd. And it's good. Let me look at the. I liked they brought back the one doctor who I can't remember his name, but
David Tennant.
David Tennant is good.
Wasn't
but the other guy they always said was so ugly. There was the one guy that everyone's like, oh, he's so ugly, and he just looks normal. And I don't know why they kept calling him like super ugly. David Tennant is one of the is a really good Doctor Who, and so is Matt something is the other. Wow, David Tennant's 52, man. He's holding up pretty good for 52.
Oh, wow. I never would have guessed.
I thought it was like 40. Matt Smith. He's a pretty good Doctor Who as well. I think, I don't know. I guess I like David Tennant a little bit more, but the best one for sure, definitely Tom Baker, the greatest Doctor Who, the most dangerous Doctor Who, the wackiest Doctor Who, the scariest Doctor Who, definitely Tom Baker for sure.
What makes him scary?
Tom Baker and kind of David Tennant kind of took a cue from this. So Doctor Who is an alien from Gallifrey, right? And he's supposed to be extremely smart, and he's not a human, and he's super smart, and he's smarter than everyone else in the room. That's the idea of Doctor Who.
Okay.
Tom Baker, but he's not necessarily, I mean, he's generally presented as a good guy, but he's not like a superhero. He's not like going around doing good just to do good, you know?
Sure. It's like, is he out for himself then?
Yeah, mostly, but then sometimes he does good stuff to do. But, well, he does act good, but he has enemies. And so sometimes he will deliberately try to defeat or destroy his enemies, you see.
Got it.
So, you know, unlike, say, Superman or even Batman, who just goes out looking to fight crime, Doctor Who has personal agenda, you know. So,
Ooh, okay. Cool. So
Tom Baker, he does this kind of frequently. Is doing, and actually David Tennant takes a cue mostly from this, is sometimes on the show, like a character will be talking to Doctor Who or whatever, and he'll just pick up an object and be like staring at it, and you don't know why he's staring at it, and he like flips it over and he's like looking at his dimensions, and then he'll just like put it in his pocket or something, and they never explain why he's doing that. And it kind of very subtly suggests that he knows more than you do, and he's observing things that you aren't observing. Other times, like something will happen, or somebody will say something to Doctor Who, and he'll just start like laughing at them, you know, and like not even explain why he's laughing, and like not in a nice way, in like a mean way, you know, in like a sardonic way.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So they don't always explain like why is he acting strangely or even menacingly, which is one of my favorite things about the Tom Baker Doctor Who. Other Doctor Who's tend to be more friendly. Some, like the first couple Doctor Who's, are even like grandfather figures. Whereas Tom Baker Doctor Who, he's sometimes, and also when the Tom Baker Doctor Who and the other doctors following him sort of this is like when he would get in like battles or whatever or contests with his opposition, like the master, like he would definitely take joy in reveling in their misery and defeat. Like when Superman, like, you know, defeats, I don't know, Lex Luthor, he's not like enjoying inflicting suffering on Lex Luthor. He's just glad that the conflict is ended or that the trouble has been alleviated. Whereas Tom Baker Doctor Who enjoys inflicting misery and suffering on his foes, which I like a lot, you know.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And
yeah, I'll have to check him out.
The Doctor Who subsequent to Tom Baker had done that to a degree, but Tom Baker definitely the best. So anyways, that's what's happening in the world. I feel like we talk a lot about sci-fi on this show, Em, which is fine.
We do.
I like sci-fi.
So, nothing wrong with sci-fi.
Have you been
lots
watching
of punk
more Star
stuff?
Have you been watching more Star Trek: The Next Generation?
It's been added to Netflix. It was probably on there the entire time, and I didn't know it was there. So yes,
yeah.
And I'm watching it properly now. So I'm watching it from season one, and I did see the weird horny episode. It's like episode two.
Season one is not the strongest. It's actually the weakest. But there's the one episode where they all get really horny. It's almost like whoever wrote that, it's like, did you want to write a Star Trek episode, or were you just writing a porno that you were forced to make into a sci-fi? You know.
My favorite thing about that one is like Data is just like, you know, the android, you know, doesn't really understand much about the humans, and then he gets horny, and then he like has relations, and it's like, what?
Well, M. Moore's specifically referring to his he bangs Tasha Yar, and like there's a famous segment in that episode where like Data is like, I assure you, I am fully functional in all human capability or something. But M, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but they actually kind of not retcon isn't the right word, but treat that as an important point in the development of Data as the seasons go by. And so it's kind of interesting how they take kind of like a joking thing and make it into like a serious development. Super deep nerd cut. If listeners know the comic book Cerebus, and do you know Cerebus or Carabus? However you pronounce it?
I am not familiar.
Okay, it's like a really far out comic book from back in the day.
Oh, cool.
That episode of Star Trek is similar in that it starts off as a parody and then it becomes a super serious comic book. But then later on, they treat the funny stuff as kind of like serious or important in the development of the character, which is interesting. Cerebus is about an aardvark. It started out as a parody of Conan the Barbarian, and it was written by a guy called Dave Sim. He's still around, but it started out as a Conan the Barbarian parody, and then he took a whole bunch of LSD, and he decided to make it a commentary on not the human condition is the wrong way to put it, just a commentary on existence. So like Cerebus runs for Pope. He runs for prime minister, I think. He gets married and like all this crazy stuff happens. But also Dave Sim goes from being a super atheist guy. And I don't know how much ass he takes, but basically he becomes super religious to the point where he's one third Jewish, one third Christian, one third Muslim.
Oh,
then there's famously episode one. I mean, not episode issue. Oh, and he decides he's going to make it exactly 300 issues, which he did make it exactly 300 issues. There's a famous issue called issue 186, where he refers to males as the light and the female energy as the void. And then from then on out, like I think he always was, but he becomes like Dave Sim becomes a very unlikable guy. Doesn't mean that his art isn't very interesting, but also sometimes it's super insufferable. Like sometimes the comic book will only be like 4 pages of comic and literally like 50 pages of his notes, you know, or it's like some essay that he's writing, and it's like totally wigged out. But I mean, some of it is like super boring, but overall it's like a really interesting, it's one of the most interesting comics ever made. It's certainly imperfect, but it's one of the most daring comics ever made. Oh, but here's the weird thing, Em. So, like, it's pretty clear that Dave Sim hates women. And,
oh, no.
And he was married, like, once or even twice. And I used to think that maybe he was, like, gay and didn't know he was gay or something. But it seems like he's hot for chicks. And, like, maybe it's like he can't get chicks, even though he did. But here's the weird thing is, after Cerebus ends, he does, like, a 12-issue comic book called Glamour Puss, which is a parody of women's fashion comic books, which I don't even really know what that is. And I'm like, if you hate women so much, why are you doing like a comic book on women's fashion? It's so weird, Em. It's so weird.
Sounds like a very interesting guy.
He's an interesting guy. Oh, like my god! I don't think he's likable, but he's super interesting. And the Cerebus comic book is super great, especially like the first 150 issues or something. Like when he becomes like super religious, like literally there's about 30 issues, and I'm not even kidding you. There's about 30 issues that consist primarily of his esoteric interpretation of the Torah. Like I'm not even kidding you.
Oh wow.
It's like bizarre, you know.
That took a turn. Yeah.
It's something else, man. I definitely recommend it, especially the first half. So anyway, I don't know, we're talking about Doctor Who, but I mean, if you have a choice between Doctor Who, Star Trek Next Generation and Cerebus, do Star Trek The Next Generation. I wouldn't say it's better than Doctor Who. Well, I would in the sense that it's much more consistently good. Doctor Who is good and bad. But I would say the high points of Star Trek Next Generation equal the high points of Doctor Who. Then do Cerebus, if you can track it down. It's certainly very interesting. So, Em, should we end tonight's episode there, Em? Just talking about Cerebus? Do you like comic books, Em?
Yeah, I love comic books. You like? I like Batman because
Batman's my favorite. He's my favorite, but like Batman, like especially like my favorite run of Batman is right before, during, and somewhat after Nightfall, which was great.
Yeah, Nightfall is awesome.
I also love Batman 2008 to about 2012, right before they rebooted the DC universe and ruined everything.
Ew, yeah, it was terrible.
My favorite run, though, is definitely Kelly Jones and Doug Monick. I feel like I talked about this before. Have I talked about this before?
I think, like, you mentioned it once, but not, like, in depth.
I'll just be brief in that. Like, the Batman run of Kelly Jones and Doug Monick is super great. They do it almost like Sandman, and the art is very over-the-top romantic style, very gothic, and it is just, like, they almost present Batman as like, a haunting figure, and it's super rad. So, anyway, and what other comic books do you like?
Oh, Sandman is like incredible. It's one of my favorite like things ever. I got all the editions like out from the library and I read all of them. And now they only have like 3 editions, which sucks, and they're not in order. And it's like, I want to reread it so bad. But like to buy like the annotated, well, to buy any of the versions is extremely expensive. But like, A couple years ago, the like annotated versions were released, and it's like, I want to read those because they're so good. Alan Moore's run of Swamp Thing is incredible. It hurts so bad, but it's so good. Same with like the John Constantine like comics. What's the run where he makes like he sells his soul to the devil?
Rake at the gates of hell, Em. Rake at the gates of hell.
When he's like dying of cancer.
Rake at the gates of hell, Em.
Oh, okay.
Rake at the gates of hell.
Interesting.
Or was that the sequel to it? No, Bad Habits is the one where he's dying.
Yeah,
of cancer,
Bad right? Habits.
Yeah, Rake at the gates of hell is where they come to collect.
Yeah, and then like. Watchmen's really good, like V for Vendetta, like all that kind of stuff. A lot of the Vertigo stuff is wild, like the old like Vertigo stuff, because they were just like throwing shit at the wall and seeing what stuck, and it's awesome. Like there's just so much weird shit. And then like some of the stuff now, well, Umbrella Academy is very good, like the comics are really good. I only read like 2 editions of this one, and then I couldn't find it anywhere, so I don't know if it continued. But there was one called Snot Girl, and that was like kind of her superpower, was she had a lot of snot. And it was really funny and interesting, and like it was pretty good, actually.
Sounds great, Anne. Yeah, sounds great.
It was great. Oh, there was also like a detective that was a Sasquatch.
The best comic books are the following.
100 Bullets was good too.
The best comic books are the following. Number one, Savage Sword of Conan the Barbarian. Best comic book ever in magazine deluxe pullout. Second, Batman Detective Comics and that era. Third best, I'll say Sandman. I'll say Hellblazer.
Yeah.
Hellblazer got kind of shitty on the second half, but like the first half is just bulletproof. Although Sandman is like perfect all the way through. I'll give it to is. Sandman because Sandman's perfect all the way through. Then we'll say Hellblazer. Then we'll say Alan Moore Swamp Thing. No, actually, I'll say Judge Dredd. Then I'll say Alan Moore Swamp Thing. Then I'll say Set. No, I'll do Cerebus before Swamp Thing. Then Swamp Thing. Then let's see what else. I'm trying to think of any other ultra classics that I really like. I guess those are the heavy hitters, you know. Oh, Superman in general. Superman's pretty cool. I like Superman. And I'll say Spider-Man too. I like X-Men, but I was never a huge X. Like I never really cared about their emotional dramas, to tell you the truth. I just didn't care, you know.
No, I like Deadpool. He's kind of X-Men-ish, but yeah, I'm not big into the Marvel like comics. Like some of them are okay. Spider-Man's probably my favorite out of them, but well, I mean, aside from Deadpool.
I'm just Googling right now the best comic books ever. And then I promise Watchmen is really, really good, but yeah. Like it's so like lauded that it's like too, you know, too lauded. You know what I mean? Like,
but it deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Actually, this one just says Why the Last Man, which I think is overrated.
Oh, I liked that one. I thought it was good up to a point, and then it started getting.
Amazing Spider-Man, Walking Dead. I don't care about that. Uncanny X-Men.
I like Walking Dead.
Dark Knight Returns is fantastic, but that's, you know, I mean, that's been done to death kind of as well. You know, I mean, I love Dark Knight Returns. So, at any rate, yeah, I'm trying to think of any other comics that I really like. And then we'll get on with the show. Sin City's Preacher is good, but it's not as good. Like Preacher tries. Preacher's good, but Preacher is sometimes it's like sex just to shock you, and after a while, you're like, I get it. The guy likes the S&M. Big, you know. Like, Sin City's cool, although like as you get older, it's kind of dopey, you know. Let's see here. Sandman, Batman, Watchmen. Yeah,
Doom Patrol. We hit all the big ones.
So anyways, let's talk about Mean Jeans. And Mean Jeans have put a video out for Lost My Mind. It's a parody of TV judge shows like Judge Judy or Judge Wapner or Judge Joe Brown. There's going to be an interview with Mean Jeans at the site relatively soon. And did you dig this track? Did you dig the video?
Oh my gosh, I thought the video was hilarious. Just everything about it. The video is perfect. It was produced by the person who runs like the meme, like art meme page, Teenage Stepdad. And they've had some like pretty funny shit in the past too. But I like the video. I like the track. But I haven't listened to the song without the video. And it's just, so I can't say if I like the song because I like the video. You know what I mean? But the song is good. The video is the best, so really enjoy the video. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I like those, you know, daytime TV shows. I think the song is great. I think the show is video, and I like when they have the judge dancing. And I thought I don't know who the bailiff is, but whoever plays the bailiff exactly fantastic. And guess what the highest selling comic series is ever? You're never gonna guess it.
The highest selling comic series ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a superhero?
No. Well, actually, I don't even know. I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. It's not one that we talked about.
No.
Is it some Star Wars tie-in?
No. It's manga, One Piece. I don't even know anything about that. Do you know One Piece?
Yeah. It's pirates. He wants to be king of the pirates. I haven't read it, but I know that it's like over 30, like it's still going.
523 million sales. Number two, I'm surprised by, but it makes sense. Asterix, which has been running for a long, long time. Like the Marvel and DC stuff, like isn't on here anywhere. It's crazy.
Well, with DC, they kind of ruined it when they did like the new 52. And it's like a lot of that stuff sucks. Some of the stuff is good. I like the revamped like Harley Quinn stuff, like that rocks. I love that. But and some of the like revamped Suicide Squad's pretty good.
It's almost all manga. I guess.
I like manga. Manga's.
Oh cool. No! I'm wrong. So the highest selling collected comic books is all manga, pretty much. Highest selling single comic books, Superman number one at $600 million. Batman number two at $484 million. Spider-Man number three, $387 million. X-Men at number four at $260 million. Captain America number five at $210 million. Then something called Diabolique, which I never heard of that. Oh, it's an Italian comic book. And then Spawn, wow, Spawn at $150 million. And that's of course Holy. All owned by Todd McFarlane. So that's a lot of bang for Todd McFarlane. And then the Phantom, which is still going, much to my surprise. So there you go.
That's cool. Oh, also, like, have you read Pandora by Alan Moore?
No.
It's good. You should read it.
Okay. What's it about?
It's about, like, this kind of spirit slash, like, kind of superhero, but superhero is not the right word. More of a spirit of, like, a girl called Pandora, and she goes through time and possesses these people and gives them powers, like superpowers and stuff. And they fight crime, they fight evil, not necessarily crime. So it's like there's something kind of encroaching on like the world. They have to stop it. So anyone who was Pandora in a previous life has a special afterlife, so the person who's a current Pandora can go and visit and talk with them. It gets like super into numerology and like a lot of different sort of mysticisms. Like, it's, from what I remember, it's really, really interesting. There's a lot about identity and stuff too.
Have you ever read Spawn?
No, I haven't.
Back in the day, I read it all the time. I loved it, but I bet if I read it now, it would be really stupid. But maybe not. But I think it'd probably be pretty stupid. Have you ever read Grendel by Comico?
Oh, I have heard of it, but I have not read it.
Grendel's pretty cool. I mean, overall, it's pretty, there's a bunch of them now, but overall, it's pretty cool. So anyway, Mean Jeans, Raz.
Mean Jeans are, yeah.
I'm excited for the new album, and Mean Jeans is great. I hope they come and play Philly. And I will definitely go see them. They're going on a tour in Australia with the Chats, who they get along well with. Bradmobile is playing their first New York show since 2002. And they're also playing Punk Rock Bowling. I'm going to be seeing them at Punk Rock Bowling. And though, is this significant? Like did Bradmobile like just reform, or have they been around and it's just they haven't played New York in a while? What's the deal?
I don't think they've been playing shows really at all. Like, I think they just kind of have their own things going. Like, I know Alison Wolf does a lot of like solo stuff and plays with different bands and DJs. She DJs. I know that.
I didn't know Alison Wolf was Bradmobile. How do you like that?
How did you not know Alison Wolf was Bradmobile?
Oh, no. Is there an Alice Wolf? I feel like there's a bunch of people. Let's see here.
I think there's a band called Alice Wolf.
I think I'm thinking of Alice Wolf. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm thinking of, I think.
But yeah, I don't think they've really played together much, if at all, in like the past, like, what is it, like 15 years? I don't think they've really played
together. It looks like they broke up. Well, they broke up a bunch of times, but they broke up in 2003. Then they broke up in 2003. Then they did one show in 2019, and now they're back again together. They haven't really been a band since 2003. So it looks like this is significant. And actually, this directly mirrors with not L7. Was it L7? Crap. Who played Punk Rock Bowling like two times ago? Was that not L7?
Lunachicks?
Lunachicks. They did a New York show and a Punk Rock Bowling show. But I think actually did they do anything after that, or was that kind of like a one time only thing?
They did that and then they released their book.
And
I don't think
they did
anything else. L7 released a new single.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Looks like L7 hasn't done any, I mean, not L7. We haven't done anything in a while. So, at any rate, that was real cool. Punk Rock Bowling. I am psyched to see Bradmobile at Punk Rock Bowling. Is that one of the club shows? I can't remember. Or is that like
they're playing both. They have a club show with Thea, Trap Girl, and Neighborhood Brats. And then they're also playing like the regular festival.
Actually, Emma, let's go off on a tangent. So, here are the Punk Rock Bowling club shows announced so far. Throwback, the Humpers, and Electric Frankenstein. I'm saying, I don't really care. Queers, Dwarves, FYP. I like the Queers. They're fine. I'm psyched for the Dwarves. Psyched for FYP. That's going to be the banger. That's a Saturday show. RKL with Tony of Municipal Waste, Dr. No, The Grim and Romper. That's the same time as The Dwarf Show. That's fine with me. I don't honestly, I really don't care about RKL that much, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. Guitar Wolf, same time as The Dwarf Show. People love Guitar Wolf. I think, you know, they're all right. Bratmobile, what day is
Hell
that?
Oh, yeah.
One? That's Sunday. I'm going to that one. That'll be cool. And actually, I like that band Faye a lot, too. And Neighborhood Brats is cool as well. I don't know. And what's your pick? So here are the punk rock bowling club shows. Bratmobile with Faye, or Faye, is it Fee or Faye, or how do they say it?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, I like that one song, I'm a Feminist, which maybe might be too on the nose, but it's a good song. I like it.
It is.
Guitar Wolf, and the other shows are RKL with Dr. No. Then there's the Queers with Dwarves and FYP, and Throw Rag and the Humpers and Electric Frankenstein. Are these blowing you out of the park? Do you not care? Or is it Mesa Mesa?
The only one that I really care about is Bratmobile. Because I really like that band and I'd love to see them. And I think in, like, obviously on the festival stage, you're going to kick ass, but like in a club setting, I think they're going to be just incredible. I also like Faye and Neighborhood Brats are pretty cool. I do not know who Trap Girl are. But you know, you always show up and you find something new and that's exciting, but Bratmobile is pretty rad.
I think these shows are hit or miss, but in a way that's kind of good, because if you really want to, you can usually make like two. One time I did three club shows in one day. Holy. But you can usually do two if you want to. But on the other hand, like if it's a stacked lineup, you only want to do one. So I don't really care about Throw Rag of the Humpers. I don't really care about RKL, and I don't really care about Guitar Wolf. But I don't care, because Dwarves and FYP I'm super psyched about, and Bratmobile and Faye I'm psyched about. So let's see. Sonic Rodeo stage at the place on the 7th. Ooh, right next door to El Cortez. So I literally have to walk across the street to see the Dwarves. And let's see, where is Bratmobile at? That is at 1 South Main Street, Las Vegas. I don't even know. I feel like it's all new venues this year. Let me take a quick look, and then we will proceed onward with our episode. Let's see here. 1 South Main Street, Las Vegas. That is at... Okay, it's right. It's like literally right at the festival grounds, pretty much. It's at the Plaza Hotel, which is right next to the... Let's see here. It's right near the Golden Nugget. Yeah. So it's literally like right where the festival is, actually. So maybe it's inside or something like that. Well, anyway, that's cool. Overall, I would say this year, punk rock bowling is hit or miss. In that, like, there's some really, really cool stuff, and there's some stuff I don't care about at all. But like, as I've said, you know, it that doesn't really matter, because you don't see every act. There's too much to see. But what is cool about punk rock bowling is, as you and I discussed before, it's definitely spicier this year than last year, which is much appreciated. You know, like, definitely. Well, Madness and Devo, but the Chats, you know, Scowl, 999, which I'm super psyched about, Bratmobile, Vile. Z Spitz. let's see. So there's definitely more spice this year, which I'm psyched about. So yeah. Catbite.
Subhumans are playing.
So I think so. Let's look. Yeah, Subhumans are playing. But see, I mean, I'm psyched to see Subhumans, but I wouldn't call that spicy in the context of punk rock bowling, because that's very like up, you know, Gorilla Biscuits, Subhumans, Stiff Little Fingers, very on brand for punk bowling, which you can't have everything be spicy, because then you lose your identity, you know? That being said, I'm psyched to see a lot of the bands here, and the one that I'm going to skip is fine with me.
Snooper, too. They're going to be cool. They might have puppets on stage.
Oh, really? That'll be cool.
I think so.
The only thing is, like, punk rock, there's no in and outs. So it's like, do you want to get there at 2 a.m. and then, like, twiddle your thumbs for, like, 5 hours when it's a bunch of bands you don't care about? You know, that's the one challenge, you know? So.
Why don't they have in and outs? Is it just a security thing?
Because if you're VIP, there are in and outs. Oh, but VIP is, like, $300 more than, like, regular. So it's like, get out of here, you know? So whatever time Catbite's playing, I'm going to be there. That's for sure. And honestly, it wouldn't be so bad. Like they have, quote, vendors there. And it wouldn't be so bad if you could like kill like a couple of hours, but you they got like two record vendors and like bootleg t-shirts. It's like, well, tough to kill like 3 hours doing that. You know what I mean? But
Yeah.
whatever. So anyway, I'm psyched for it. Let's see. What else we got to talk about today? Military Gun, they got a new EP coming out. And do you care about it?
That like the EP is reworked versions of songs off their like 2023 album. I did not listen to the 2023 album. I listened to the singles and I liked some of them and I didn't like others. And I meant to listen to the album, but I ended up listening to other stuff instead. Based off of the track list, I want to check out the Mannequin Pussy song because Mannequin Pussy are awesome. I did like the version of Never Fucked Up Once called Never Fucked Up Twice that had Bully on it that they released a couple months ago now. And that's on the EP, so that was cool. I have no idea how they're going to do the NOFX cover, so I'm interested to see that. But yeah, like Military Gun, I find for me are just very hit or miss. Like some of the stuff I really, really like, and other like stuff I don't really care for at all. So I'll check it out because I'm intrigued about a couple things and go from there. I don't think you're, what are your thoughts?
So I listened to this song. My friends are having a hard time featuring Manchester Orchestra. And I'm not saying that if you're not punk, you're bad, because there's plenty of punk bands. There's plenty of bands that aren't punk that are some of the best bands ever. Led Zeppelin, Patti Smith. Well, Patti Smith is kind of punk. But I don't know, Led Zeppelin, punk. Rolling Stones. I'm trying to think who else. Stevie Wonder, the Shirelles, Ronnie Spector. Not punk, all extremely great. That being said, I don't understand how Military Gun is in the punk discussion whatsoever. I'm listening to the song, my friends are having a hard time. It is literally adult contemporary from 1993. Like, I mean, really? Like, wow. This is like what people's moms listen to in 1993. Like, what is this, man? Like how is this punk? You know, yeah, I'm not trying to be the punk police, but I don't see any connection whatsoever. You know what I mean? It's like, ugh. Man, I'm not into this. I've seen this band. I saw this band with Spice, the Ross Farrar band. I know for a while Military Gun was. And what's up with their name? Like spelling military wrong. Like it's just annoying me. I'm just not into this band. And like it's fine if people like this band. I don't. But why are we saying they're punk and even hardcore? You know why?
I think it's because Ian Shelton is in it. And, like, he's in Regional Justice Center, and Regional Justice Center rips. Like, Regional Justice Center is a pure power violence band, and they are hardcore, and they are amazing. So I think Military Gun gets the tag just because he's a part of it. And it's like, well, he has the band to explore different things, right? Like, he has the band to explore different styles of music and whatever, and...
including
I think
adult
people,
contemporary from 1993,
including 90s adult contemporary, because that really gets people going sometimes, you know. So I think just his inclusion is the tag.
Well, I am not into it, but I am into Spaced. And tell us about Spaced.
Spaced rule. They are finally releasing their debut full-length album. And if you're like, well, Space Jams? That was, yeah. Well, Space Jams was their debut full-length album. You're incorrect. Space Jams is a collection of previously released like EPs and demos. And I believe it has maybe one or two new songs. So that's not an album. That is a collection. And there's nothing wrong with collections because Space Jams fucking rocks. And so does Spaced. But they're releasing, or they're going to be releasing, their debut full-length album called This Is All We Ever Get on March 22nd on Revelation Records. So I'm super stoked because everything I've heard from Spaced, I really, really like, especially Prove You Wrong. That's one of my favorite songs possibly ever.
Spaced wrote one of your favorite songs ever?
It's up there. You know how like you have songs where you're just like, you're... maybe you're having a bad day, or maybe you're just like not really feeling like yourself, and you listen to something and you're like, yep, you know, it just kind of reaffirms everything and it just takes you back to who you actually are. Prove You Wrong is that's one of those songs for me, and it's great. Like so I'm really excited, and they released a video for their new song Landslide, and Landslide rules. It's an awesome song, and the video is great because it's all like workout themed. So it's just like, you know, people in a gym and they're doing like the follow the moves, and I think it like breaks into a really awesome like mosh pit at one point. The band's playing like intercut with the band playing live, I believe, outside of the gym or in the gym, and it's just great and fun and has that like nice chaotic element to it. So I'm super stoked for Spaced. John, what did you make of Spaced?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I love music videos that like parody workout videos. I think the song is rad. It's, you know, it's modern throwback hardcore, and I think it's done really well. And actually, it looks like I will be seeing Military Gun because Space is opening for them on February 14th at the First Unitarian Church. So I will be seeing Spaced. Will I stay around for Military Gun? We'll see. But I'm excited to see Spaced.
Space is going to be cool.
Also playing another M Moore band, Spiritual Cramp, which M likes, and a band called Cool Kids, which you might have covered as well.
I like Cool Kids. I like Cool Kids more than Spiritual Cramp. Not knocking Spiritual Cramp. I know Sam really likes Spiritual Cramp, though.
Oh, is it Sam like Spiritual Cramp? Okay, well there you have it. So, anyways, that's that. A couple last stories, or one or two last stories. Maybe actually only one last story. Pugfest 2. Welcome to Pug. Yeah, that's a funny title. That is going to be June 28th through June 30th, 2024. Oh, man, it's like a whole – it's like, wow. It's like a bunch of venues. Where's this at?
So many venues. It's in Michigan.
Michigan, okay. Yeah. Bands playing include Dollar Signs, Fight Patterns, Guitar Fight.
Dreamwell.
Michael Sarah Palin, Dreamwell. And I'm curious, why did you – I mean, I don't recognize a fair amount of these bands. Why did you cover this story? First question.
So I came across this because I follow a couple of the bands that are playing. And I found out about this through Heavenly Blue, who are a really cool band. They have, like, members from sort of all over. But they're really, really, really good. I saw them at New Friends Fest, and if you can see them, they're like killer. They do like post-hardcore, screamo, incredible energy. So I saw the post on their page, and I was like, oh, cool, they're playing a festival. Like, that's neat. Where's the festival? It's like, oh, shoot, it's in Michigan. And then Dreamwell shared it, and I was like, oh, Dreamwell, I love Dreamwell too. Like, that's so cool. And then I went to like, or I found the flyer on one of their social medias, and I'm like, oh my God, that is the best flyer I've ever seen, you know? So I looked at the, like, the lineup too, and there's like other bands that are awesome on this, like Dollar Signs, like kicks ass. Hit Like a Girl is awesome. Kerosene Heights is good. Retirement Party is also great, and Sign Language, Stay Inside, kick ass. And I have been wanting to check out Palette Knife, but I have not yet, and this was kind of my reminder to do so. Stars Hollow is also kind of neat too, so, or pretty neat too, but the flyer is really, really rad. It's like, it's super, like, it's, it has a good color palette, and there's a little pug, and he's on a scooter and has a helmet on, and it says pug on the side, and it's just really cute. And the color scheme is like orange and yellow and blue, which you don't really see very often, and it just, it pops and looks really cool. And the name, just Pugfest 2, Welcome to Pugdale, is perfect because you're like, what is Pugfest 2? It was really funny because I looked it up, trying to find like a different copy of the flyer. And what came back were a bunch of like festivals for actual pug dogs, which I thought was really funny. But great name, great flyer. The flyer definitely like drew me into it. And then after that, it was like, oh my God, there's a lot of really cool bands playing this. Like, that's super rad. So the flyer was a big factor. Make a cool flyer.
Let's talk about that. I mean, more and more, most fest. So the Pug Fest flyers got a dog in a skateboard helmet with a skateboard, a pug dog, which is funny.
Scooter.
More and more festivals, like the fly, like for festivals where there's a million bands playing, it's just like a list of the bands, and that's all it is. You know what I mean? In like a font. So the question is. And also, like I said, you know, with When We Were Young Fest and all those fests that are all run by the same entity, they have no pictures whatsoever. It's literally just a list of bands. And that kind of goes to show that they have mastered the art of advertising and fulfilling a certain market need, if you will, strictly from a commerce standard. And the picture is irrelevant, you know. So, M, how important is the picture on the flyer, really? Now, I know we all like to see an interesting picture and a funny picture, but the point of a flyer is to get people to spend money to buy tickets to come to the show. So how important is the image on the flyer, really? You know, I would say, I'm actually almost kind of contradicting myself. If you go to like an Uber Punks festival where it's all like, you know, leather jacket and spike bands, they always have like a brick wall and like a skull on it or whatever. And I would say that moments ago, I would have said that the imagery is not important, frankly, even though it's fun and cool. It bears almost no relation to the sale of the festival itself and is almost a waste of space from a commercial standpoint. But now that I'm thinking about it, at least for Uber festivals, like that skull is a way to saying, we will be delivering the exact product that you want. Black leather, spikes and skulls, and bands that rip off Discharge. Come to this festival. Similarly, like the hardcore festivals, they use that like graffiti style font and they have like a cartoonish figure and like a hoodie. And that says, we are delivering the product that you want and you will get the exact product that you want. Faux, retro, throwback, tough guy, hardcore. So now that I'm thinking about it, maybe for giant festivals, it doesn't really matter. But for like medium-sized festivals, maybe it makes a big difference now that I'm thinking about it. Like, it lets the consumer know exactly what they're getting, if you will, you know?
Oh, 100%. And even if it doesn't, like, it intrigues you, right? Like, with the Pug Fest thing is, why is there a pug on it? What's going on? What is this? Right? And then it's, oh, wow, cool. I wouldn't associate a pug with any of the band's sounds, but it's fun and it's interesting. And then when you see the pug and you kind of associate it with the bands at that point, then you can see it and you can see the pug like dancing and having a good time. So I think that the way that you do your flyer really matters, because it's something eye-catching will catch your eye if it's on a signpost, or it'll catch your eye if you see it on social media or share it on someone's story or whatever, and you'll want to know what it is and what it's all about. And I think the kind of the wackier the image, like, the better. And exactly like you said, like, it in a lot of cases, not all cases, but in a lot of cases, it does let you know kind of what you're in for. I also really like flyers that have like an interesting like drawing or like color scheme or like, you know, little doodles at least. And then they have the band name and then they say underneath like, like where they're from and kind of a description of the band. Like just like a couple words or whatever, just because I think that's really interesting to see how people describe different things, especially when it's like, you know, what they sound like, and then you can be like, does that fit and stuff. So I enjoy that. But yeah, I've definitely found out about a lot of stuff just based off of like, wow, that looks cool, what is it?
Well, I definitely do enjoy a cool looking flyer. And if you go to like a really cool show, it's fun to get the print or the Misfits hit or miss. I think on small and medium level shows, it has a great deal effect, maybe because it lets people know, kind it sets the tone for what people are in for. At big festivals, I think they realize it doesn't make a difference whatsoever, and they just list all the bands. So yeah. I don't know. Anything else we should talk about?
I can't think of anything right now. Do you have anything?
I'll point out that designing flyers for punk news shows is one of the most fun thing to do for punk news shows. And there's a couple that are going to be announced relatively soon. At least one that's going to be announced relatively soon. There's a few in the works. I always like it when someone says, hey, if you ever need anyone to design a flyer, I got cheap rates. And I realize the person's trying to be helpful or kind of get their own thing going. But I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, yes, I'm going to pay you to do the thing that is the most fun in regards to this show. you know what I mean? But yeah. So the World Inferno flyers were always real cool because World Inferno had a definite aesthetic, so you could play around with that. So yeah, man. Yeah, I know. So that's that. So yeah, you can always reach that podcast at punknews.org. And I don't know, Em, anything else, or should we shut it on down?
Send us your mail.
Oh, also there's a Green Day article at Punk News that this episode is gonna go up tonight, but it'll be there tomorrow. Ricky Frankel, Tricky Ricky, had a good idea to do basically let's look at deep cut Green Day tracks. And so we kind of just did an overview of deep cut Green Day tracks. And so yeah.
It was so fun. Oh my god. Yeah, I got to like revisit a bunch of stuff, and then I found one later. Where I was like, oh shoot, I could have written about this too. And like it completely slipped my mind that it existed, I guess.
Well, there's still time, man.
That's true.
You've got 14 hours.
Can I do it in 14 hours? I'll see if I can fit it in, I will. If I can't fit it in, I'll talk about it on the next podcast.
Well, there you have it. And we will see you next week.